Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Joining me in studio this morning, the Reverend Rod Zwanitzer, Director of Broadcast Services here at Worldwide KFUO at the LCMS International Center, and ready to study 2 Peter this morning. Are you, sir?
I'm ready.
You're ready? All right. We're going to take a look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 21 this morning. And we'll open the listener lines. If you have questions or comments on the text this morning, you can give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. It's a good thing I know those numbers because our Christmas decorations are kind of covering up those numbers there. 1-800-730-2727. I'm sorry, not Christmas decorations, they're Advent decorations.
Oh, they are Christmas and Advent together.
I wouldn't want to jump the seasons
whoever wrapped that could have just... a couple of twists different and we would have been... We're going to have to fix that here during a break, Andy.
Well, it's a good thing. You know, we share those numbers all the time. 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us kfuo@kfuo.org. As we're digging into 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 21, what do you like, before we even dig into that, what do you like about 1 and 2 Peter, these letters here?
Well, you know, it's good to hear from the apostle himself. Mm-hmm. And as I was listening to your guest, was it yesterday or the day before, we had that great text in 1 Peter about the good shepherd and his under shepherds.
Yes.
And so, you
it
know,
was yesterday, I believe, yeah.
1 Peter is known as just a wonderful book about suffering. If you want to know about suffering, this is the book. Mm-hmm. I remember taking Bible study group through on that, and you know, they weren't even aware that Peter was into suffering, but boy, he was. And here you get kind of a little bit of a carryover, not a whole lot, but into persecution for being a true prophet, as Peter was. So he would have mm-hmm. been familiar with all the prophets before him, Jeremiah, in that vein, that were persecuted for telling the truth. Mm. And I'm sure Peter knew that firsthand, the suffering. And so that's what we're getting into here is persecution and, you know, standing up for the truth and God's prophetic word. So let's do that.
And Peter is just one of his names. He has a couple of names. It's some translated Simon, some translated Simeon. Let's take a look. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 21. We'll take a look at this first section here. Verse 1, Simeon Peter, a servant and apostle of Christ, of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, sometimes when reading these, sometimes I just kind of gloss over these introductions, but there's value, and I mean, these introductions are there for a reason.
Absolutely. And here, as you're pointing out, we get not only his name, but what he values about his vocation. That's a word that, you know, we talk about a lot here on Worldwide KFUO, vocation, not being your career, but your various calls from God. And so here's my name, and I am a servant. The actual Greek there, Andy, is doulos, and it's a bond slave. So he's talking about being a bond slave an apostle of Jesus Christ. So Jesus owns Peter. That's Peter's prized possession, that he is owned by Jesus. And he is, pleased and humbled to be his bondslave, his servant, and apostle.
Hmm. To those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. A faith of equal standing with ours. What is this faith that he's speaking about here?
You know, that's a great question. You know, I'm not sure that we even think about that much, and I just flashed into my head an experience I had as a young pastor, not young in terms of years, but young in terms of years in the ministry, of people telling other Christians that I have a higher faith status than you do. I have more of the real thing than you do. And Peter's dispelling that here, Andy, don't you think? He says, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours. Now, this obtained thing could sound like, you know, that we've done something to achieve this. No, he's, you know, it's almost, you could say, have been gifted. You've obtained this, nothing on your own, by grace, you know, nothing at your expense, everything at Jesus' expense. And faith in Jesus, real true saving faith, gets everybody the same benefits and privileges. You know, we get salvation, we get forgiveness of our sins, we get eternity now. It's all ours in Jesus. And the other place that that's kind of emphasized is in Galatians, what is it, 2, where at the end, you know, he's making the point, everyone has equal standing before Christ by faith and not by law. And so he says, you know, for there is neither a slave nor free man, male nor female, Greek nor Jew. And he's not saying anything about, you know, who's supposed to lead the worship service. He's saying in Christ, this, as Peter's saying, this faith, we have equal standing. We have the same benefits. We have the same riches. We have the same eternal blessings.
May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. A nice greeting, and certainly sets the tone for the message that he's going to deliver here. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord.
This is a way of writing a letter in the ancient times, and we kind of do it today. You know, we acknowledge who we are at the top of a letterhead, you know. You put your title, your name, and who it's to, and then a greeting. And so this is real common. We hear this in Paul, and a lot of preachers, when they begin their sermon, they're going to use that kind of apostolic greeting.
Sure. Grace and
peace. The
lave
of God, peace be with you. And so this is a way of really, I think, greeting people, believers, as he's saying here, that have equal standing before God because of the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, and may that grace and peace be multiplied to you. Isn't that nice? That's a nice combination that you don't hear in Paul's. May it be multiplied to you. Isn't that what we try to do when we have time together? A koinonia fellowship. Mm-hmm. We try to multiply God's grace and peace among the church. And we do that, as he says, in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Boy, when you get into knowing God more and Jesus, it does multiply grace and peace, doesn't it?
Well, certainly, being surrounded, hearing his word, being surrounded by his gifts, being immersed in his gifts. We are studying the daily New Testament reading, and if you have questions or comments, call us, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Let's take a look at verse 3 and following. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. This is a really long sentence, isn't it? It goes on and on. It was a grammar instructor's nightmare, but so much packed into it, so much good there. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness.
Yeah, this is just chock full of wonderful, powerful words. I was looking here at the Greek that you provided, and you know we have this word power that is where we get the word dynamite, explosive power. And you know, I always love that because, you know, Paul uses that same word, Andy, in Romans 1, where he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God to save everyone, be they Jew or Greek. And it's the same word where we get dynamite. So, you know, I always like to think of it this, our hardened, like concrete bunker around our soul that keeps God and his goodness out and would never allow us to believe, you know, as Paul says in Romans 3, quoting from all the Older Testament, no one seeks after him, no one likes him, no one cares about him. They hate God and the truth. And so it's a miracle of God blasting that hardness away with his explosive dynamite power of the gospel. And that, I think that's what he's saying here. His divine explosive power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, that's a lot just in that opening phrase. So, you know, he has blasted away all our hardness and allowed the gospel to have its way with our soul. And then he goes on to say how that kind of happens, doesn't he?
Sure. By through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. So he has done this in us. It is by his work that we are able to escape the corruption that is in the world. The sinful desire in us wants what the world wants, but by his work in us, he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, and so that we can become partakers with him. For this very reason, make every effort then to supplement your faith with virtue. So faith doesn't come from virtue, but rather faith is, here it says, supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. All good things.
Yeah, and they're a linked together in a chain. And so they all flow out of the gift of faith, all given from faith. And so that's why we keep saying, you know, continue to believe in the gospel. And back to where he has in 4 here, because in that gospel, he's given us precious and very great promises, as you say, that live within us. That divine nature, partakers of divine nature, is not as some falsely teach it, that we become more and more like Christ. No, it's that Christ lives in us via the Holy Spirit and his word. And so it allows us to escape the corruption in the world because of sinful desire, and brings on this chain reaction of all this wonderful list, these qualities here in 7. And then he goes on, for if these qualities are yours, I'm in verse 8 now, and are increasing. See, that's what he wants to do about spiritual maturity, increase those things in us through our faith, and they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, you want fruits of faith? There you go. Faith in the gospel is going to bring about virtue, self-control, knowledge, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, love. And what a lot of people like to do, throw them all out and just say love. No, that's a byproduct, a result of growing in faith in Jesus Christ. And so that gospel keeps giving and giving and giving this chain reaction.
As we're going through this list, this kind of reminds me of kind of the essence of classical education, you know, the search for truth and beauty. That's really what this reminds me of as we're going through this list of all these characteristics that are described here. For whoever, verse 9, for whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. So if we lack these things, whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, forgotten what God has provided for him, that God has cleansed him from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This reminds me of... I don't know. Law or gospel? As we look at these, if you practice these qualities, you will never fall.
Right.
Sounds like law to me.
It sure does.
But which use of the law?
Well, it has to be third. Because that's a great point that you're raising here. And the therefore at the beginning of verse 10 says, hey, having understood everything I said before about faith having its way with your soul, then be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. So it says, hey, you know that you have the faith because you would not naturally do these things, and they would won't naturally come to you, but God continues to gift them to you. I'm taking a noun and making it into a verb there, but for emphasis so you're bringing up a really good point there, because it sure sounds like law, but we would have to take it out of context, wouldn't we? And the therefore links it to to what we previously had, and so this call and election for sure. I would say it this way, because I always had people when I was in the parish, ask me this, and they always do it in private. I don't think I'm a Christian anymore. And I'd say, why? And they would say, well, you know, Pastor, I just don't have this chain reaction anymore going on, I don't think. Brotherly affection, all that other things. And I say, well, hold it. Do you believe that you are a person in the world for whom Jesus suffered, bled, and died, and rose again? Oh, yeah. And because of that, all your sins are forgiven. Then stop this nonsense. And concentrate on that, and all these other things, you know, will become more obvious to you. They're there now, but they're just not obvious because you are getting sucked into that wrong vortex of it's what I have to do. And this is a nice chain reaction here that just continues, and it's gonna continue on. He's gonna use another therefore. In a couple of verses in 12.
The phrase that last phrase, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall, reminds me that God's law, while it always condemns, you will never fall, I picture that curb. This is, the law is given to protect you too.
Yeah, and he's not talking about you will never sin anymore.
Right.
He's talking about that you will never fall away from the faith. You will never fall away from that narrow path of righteousness that leads to the marriage feast with the Lamb. And so, you know, that's how people wrongly interpret law and gospel and get themselves in trouble. And so, you know, and that's what it says, for in this way, verse 11, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom. There you go.
This is for what I guess, as I'm reading verse 10, this is for your benefit and for your neighbor's benefit.
That's a real good point for your neighbor, who is the rest of the world, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, let's go to the listener lines. Let's go to Mike here in St. Louis. Good morning, Mike.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good, good. How are you this morning, Mike?
Okay, pretty good. My question is, I know you guys are coming close to the end. Isn't virtue and integrity the same thing? And it means somebody who practices good morals?
I'll leave that to the wordsmith here.
Well, I haven't had time really to look to that original Greek there, but I think that this word virtue is describing a given attribute of a believer, and integrity might be a good synonym of that.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, we think of virtue as being a rather high, lofty moral quality. You know, virtue is probably higher than values. I heard somebody talking about that the other day. You know, our world gets too much into values and forgets virtue.
Oh yeah.
And I can't mm-hmm. even remember what program that was on, if it was even ours, but I remember hearing it. And I like that, you know, I think, oh, I know, it was Hal Sinkpile on Issues, Etc., talking about, you know, our world is so wrapped up in values rather than virtue. And somebody that's virtuous, Andy, what a great person it is to be around somebody who's a virtuous person. Wow. And so it starts with this. So, Mike, that's something nice that you pointed out. And I'm going to have to go look up that Greek word today.
Well, speaking of values and virtues, I need to do something virtuous here and stay on my task. Keep us on time. We need to take a break, and we'll come back from that break and finish studying 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 21 this morning. Hope you can join us for the rest of the study as we're studying with the Reverend Rod Zwanitzer right here on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
KFUO celebrates our 90th anniversary. On December 14th, 1924, from a small attic studio in St. Louis, KFUO was heard for the very first time. Our founders used the motto, keeping forward, upward, and onward, to go along with the call letters assigned to the station. And from that day on, KFUO has moved forward through each decade, proclaiming a Christ-centered message. We've moved upward with broadcasting in AM, FM, HD, and satellite syndication of KFUO programs. Worldwide KFUO continues to move onward, using today's technologies including internet streaming, on-demand programs, and podcasting. The mission of that first day is the mission we have today. Go out and proclaim the gospel. Now, through the end of January, join us for fun and memories during this 90-day celebration with a new theme each week, reflecting on our 90 years of ministry. KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Joining me in studio this morning, the Reverend Rod Zwanitzer. We are studying 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 21 this morning. Are we ready to go on to verse 12?
We are. Let's do it.
All right. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me, and I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. Now, we're studying 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 21, looking at verses 12 through 15 right now. If you have questions or comments, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727 or KFUO@KFUO.org. All right, verses 12 through 15. What do you think here, Pastor?
Andy, right where you were taking us back in verse 10 and 11, that this is for your neighbor and for the world is so right on. And I just like to share the Lutheran Study Bible's note on that. This letter also serves as perpetual encouragement, it writes, to remain and grow in the word of Christ, that the work of Christ may be manifested in the believer's life. There you go. As Luther liked to say, that he might make us little Christ that run mm-hmm. around, and at certain points, people see the light and the truth of Jesus in us, manifested in our lives. And we were talking about that, these virtues, these qualities. wow, when you sense them, you know, I see them in you, Andy Bates, and I don't say, man, do I really like and love Andy Bates? I like the God that has created Andy mm-hmm. Bates and made you into the fine Christian man and husband and radio star that you are. And so isn't that what we're talking about? And also, you know, I think he's going to get into this, that when you see people like that, what God really wants is that we get questioned, as my wife was cracking up when we were at the gym last night working out. I had one of my Luther t-shirts on, and the guy looked and pointed at me and said, is that Martin Luther? And we got to talk about it. And that's what it's all about, is that we might deflect from us and say, if you see anything good in me, it's Jesus.
To God be the glory.
All the glory, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's where he's going here with us.
I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me, and I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. So I've been given to stir you up, he says.
And here we are 2,000 years later, and he's still stirring us up with these words.
And he knows that his departure is coming, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear. And I'll make every effort, as he said. So as you pointed out, we're still reading it today. Anything else about verses 12 through 15?
It just all ties together, doesn't it? We were remarking off mic here how this is just such a great text. I haven't read this in a while, I'll be honest. And this is just beautiful, Holy Spirit-inspired stuff for us.
All Scripture is God-breathed, right?
Yeah.
Verse 16, for we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when we received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
How many times do we hear, especially in our age, of the Bible being a myth? Jesus is in a mythological class, as would be the tooth fairy, having just come back from the dentist this morning, or Santa or someone else. And you know, he's saying, no, I'm an eyewitness. Now, think about that. A credible eyewitness, that is the most reliable form mm-hmm. of evidence about an event or about a person mm-hmm. that you can ever have. And so he's saying, I was there on the Mount of Transfiguration, and I heard this voice say, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. I heard that voice. I saw this
voice from heaven, from heaven.
This transfiguration. But he said, to me, more important is the prophetic word. And so, you know, I was thinking here, Andy, of that great part of Luke 16, where our Lord says that, you know, this rich man and the beggar go to depart this life mm-hmm. at the same time. And the rich man is in hell, the beggar is in heaven. And the rich man in hell keeps telling God, you don't do it correctly. You know, first, make that beggar who served me a lot, even for crumbs, come and cool me down. And God says, no, that's not possible. There's an eternal gulf. You're never going to be able to go
across
the chasm. So there's no purgatory. You know, when you leave this world, it's one place or the other. And then my point here is, he says, okay, but, you know, go and make my family, here that these places are really real. And Jesus says, hey, you have basically the word of God.
Yeah, the law and the prophets. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a Hebrew way of saying the entire revealed word of God at that time, which had been the Old Testament. And so that's the point. The word of God, the word of God, the word of God. If somebody says they're a prophet, and he's going to get into the next chapter, which you'll probably address tomorrow, he's going to talk about false prophets. False prophet is determined because they don't speak it correctly. And he's talking here about interpretation. Interpretation is only out of the word of God. And so when you take people the word of God and show them clearly, this guy over here is not saying what the word of God says.
And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until that day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Word of God does not have its origin in man.
One of the most deceitful and lying phrases that we hear so much today, and God help us, Lord have mercy upon us, that Missouri Synod Lutherans do this as well, when we say, that's just your interpretation. That is a lie. Francis Pieper has a great essay on this. If any of you out there are interested in this, give me and Andy an email shout, and I'd be glad to show you where this is. He says this, no, that's not true. Nothing is one's interpretation. And he uses the words of institution for the Lord's Supper as an example. Hmm. Did not Jesus say, this is my body, this is my blood? What is there to interpret? There's nothing to interpret. The words are there clearly. Take them at their value. And so that's where he's going here, Andy, and it's so wonderful. And we have something more sure than when I saw it with my own eyes, heard it with my own ears, the prophetic word. God says it, and he says, I'm never going to lie to you. It's always going to be for your blessing to eternal life, to the forgiveness of your sins. So believe it when I say it.
And I said it, he says here, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of God is the word of God, not the word of men about God. This is the word of God.
I really like a painting that I have, and I can't remember who it is, but I bought it. Vatican had an exhibit at the Detroit Institute of Art one year on angels. And you could see the development of the art over time. Mm-hmm. And there's one that's really famous of an angel whispering into Matthew's ear what to write down. And then he's got a quill with ink, and he's writing down what the angel is saying into his ear. You know, I'm not sure that's the way it happened.
But it's a visual, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a visual that's saying what Peter's saying here, isn't it? Is that I didn't come up with this on my own. God inspired through the Holy Spirit to put these words down. And we're inspired by the Holy Spirit when we use the words given to us in Holy Scripture. And that's what Peter's saying. They're as sure as when God told them to me, I'm an eyewitness, and he blessed me with the Holy Spirit. You are blessed with the Holy Spirit. Jesus lives in you when you take his word at face value.
Amen. Well, looking over the text as a whole today, anything else as we wrap up our study together?
You know, we should emphasize this as a, you know, a ribbon around the whole thing. It's a gift of Jesus Christ, and it all points to Christ's righteousness, his grace and mercy for each of us, for all people. That's what we have to continually to say and proclaim, and we've did that for 90 years here at KFUO, worldwide KFUO, and this giving tree, those giving tags, they're getting more and more. Yeah. Isn't that so cool, Andy?
It is. It's very cool.
It humbles me, and I'm sure it does you, to be a little part of this sacred stream of broadcasting this glory of Christ. And here we got it in great things in 2 Peter 1.
Amen. Well, thank you for spending some time helping us study in 2 Peter chapter 1 today.
All glory be to Christ.
Amen. Amen. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got morning prayer. Stick around for more His Time right after this break on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.